It's Against All Odds presented by FanDuel. Hey, take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, the official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Podcast Network powered by Spotify. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Yeah, we're doing it a little late. Kind of jet lagged here from our overseas travels. Mikey Meatballs, he stayed stateside. He is producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
Top of the morning to you, Sally.
Welcome back, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
We went to Ireland. Me, Brother Bri, and the Parlay Kid, Harry, was left home. I think Springsteen. Springsteen wasn't in Ireland. He can't go. What are you going to do? But what a wedding. Congrats and big thanks to Lil A and Lil S on the nuptials. Nothing was little about this wedding, though, right? There were like six events. I keep telling people it was like Succession. Party after party, but the people were slightly less deplorable, right? Parlay Kid, I don't know. I don't know how I would explain
that's that. Yeah. I mean, surrounded by wealth beyond our belief.
It's ridiculous.
But yet, not very little arrogance amongst the folks that right. we were with at all. In fact, as nice and as down to earth as anybody that's worth $100 to $200 million could possibly see.
Stupid that we were invited.
You said, what was the best thing? I don't know. I couldn't even tell you what the best thing was. It was one thing after another, the people of Ireland were great. The people surrounding the wedding were great. Everything about it was fantastic. The food was great. The parties were great. The pubs were great.
Yeah.
The cliffs were great. Everything was south. It couldn't have been. We'll never be. All of us
Travel's
had great weddings.
Suck after this.
We it all really had great is. Weddings, yeah. But this you could roll all of ours up into one wedding. Mm-hmm. And this whole 3 or 4 or 5 days surpassed it by far. It was amazing. An amazing job. The only thing little about the wedding was Lil A weighed about 120 pounds.
I know. He got down a weight. He looked like a petite little bride. He really was. Bri, what's interesting.
One young child to pick him up in a chair. Like, it was like literally like I think one of the kids picked him up.
Yeah.
In the chair on the dance floor. It was amazing.
And it wasn't That's even part of was. The Jewish celebration. He was eating his lobster and they just decided to pick him up. Yeah. Bri, actually, you or Parlay Kid mentioned that a lot of people in Ireland look like the two of you, or the two of you look like a lot of people in Ireland. And I looked around. I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's these are your people, man. Bri. And you're probably not even. What are you? What's your percent Irish? Are we 23andMe right now?
We're like. We're not even a quarter. We're probably like 20% Irish or something like that. I would say maybe 20, I guess 25 really tops. But the funny thing was I said to you guys, I was like, there's a guy working on this property that looks just like Jim Cunningham. And obviously Cunningham couldn't be more Irish. Right?
Yeah.
And I found out that last day when we were leaving, the guy's yelling at him. Guy's name was Jim.
I thought that was funny.
But I will say, I think the highlight for me, obviously, I think the either the when we did the falconry or we had the opportunity to work with those like trained dogs, those were awesome.
Yeah.
The only negative about this whole trip, I would say, is, well, you guys, well, it's not being able to watch. Well, we watched the games on our, we were able to pull up the games on our small phone.
It was a big
phone
negative.
In the middle of the night. But imagine how great this wedding weekend would have been. Is like after the parties, we were able to go back to somebody's room and watch these games on the TV or at the bar, watch the games on TV. I mean, it would have just made this. This
or if there were any sports from 12 to 4 or 12 to 6 or 12 to 10 p.m., noon to 12 to 10 p.m. Like, that was the only thing. I agree. The events were over by 11, 12, and we went back to our rooms, and all the basketball games started at 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. And so, as you mentioned, the falconry, the caves, the castles, the cliffs, thank God pictures were taken, because I'm walking through this stuff bleary-eyed from staying up till, no joke, 4 in the morning, because I have a problem. Like a lot of these people, you know, worth 9 figures, Bri, are not betting 2-team teasers on 18-year-olds.
They have no idea what's going on. Yeah, they have no idea what's going on. I didn't even want to bring up sports to half of them, you know. I know.
Yeah, that would have been. Yeah, we powered through. I don't think we missed much of the basketball. It was really crazy. We stayed up really late, just watching on our 4-inch phones. It was really stupid. But what sucked is like I said, I'm a zombie walking through the next day. I could have been in South Central LA if not for the pictures. I wouldn't have known the difference. Harry, you've been all over the world. Is there a country that where you look like everybody, all the natives, the residents?
I definitely don't look like the people from Amsterdam. We'll put it that way. I definitely don't.
Okay.
They're about 6'2", and I'm not quite 6'2".
All right. So it's not Amsterdam.
I don't know.
Darren's thinking of a place, right?
He is.
Hamburg,
Frankfurt. Where was Lord of the Rings filmed?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, boy. Okay. Want to play that?
Let's look that up. Harry, look that up. When you download Google Chrome, look up Lord of the Rings and where it was filmed. I love it. Game of Thrones, you can go anyway. All right. Basketball. We've reached the Final Four. UConn minus 185 to win it all. I don't see a reason to not take them at this point. Purdue plus 190. Bama 13-1. Here's what's interesting. Bama 13-1, a bigger underdog than NC State, who is 20-1. But they figure, I don't know. Bri, how does that work? Because if Bama beats UConn, they're in a better spot than if NC State had beaten Purdue. Is that what it is?
I think that's that's all they're figuring. If they get past that game, it's just harder for NC. Yeah, it's harder for NC State to have to go. Purdue, UConn, all right.
But I will say, I don't even know why I'm asking you, because we all did brackets and you came in last place, 48 points. Terrible. I know that doesn't mean anything to anyone, but you have Houston over Arizona in your final.
That was a good final.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think either team's going to make it.
I have an excuse there with Houston.
Yeah.
Shed getting hurt there in that game against Duke. I don't think there's any
not good.
I don't think there's any way they lose that game if he's playing. And then who knows after that? Although I don't think anybody.
Houston really wasn't playing good down the stretch, Brian. They really weren't.
No, they weren't. But I don't. The way they played defensively with him in there, they had no other options on offense there. So I thought I don't know if they were going to get further than that game, but that I think they definitely beat Duke there. I think they would have I think they would have got past NC State. It's really just the next Purdue, UConn. I don't know.
Who knows with this NC State team
right now?
They are tripping everybody up. But either way, you have to. We're gonna have to dip into the cap of consequences on Friday's Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Bri will have to do something horrible as a result of his last place finish, and we're gonna find out what that is. Probably basketball related. Something with nets. Maybe fish in nets. I don't know. I guess we could wait until. Someone, I don't know. We could wait. We can figure out who's in the finals, but I don't want to wait. I think we do this Friday. And let's look at these lines. UConn, as I said, the biggest favorite, 11.5 point favorite, 160.5. That went down a point, which was very high for a game this late versus Alabama. Parlay kid, I had guessed I was way off. I thought this would be about 8.5. And then I was like, 11.5. They can't. UConn's just stomping everybody. I mean, you got to make that high, right?
Yeah, I guess they've been as dominating as any team in recent memory in this tournament so far. So I guess these 11.5 point spread is warranted. Look, Alabama was a 4 seed. So this makes sense. This makes sense. They're dominating everybody. So that's
We'll get to the pick on Friday. Sure. The picks. But yeah, as it shapes up, I'm not going to say Alabama's lucky to be here, but they've been very good with their three balls, and their, and the other teams have not, and go into the stats at a later time. And even if you look at free throws by their opponents, way, way down. Things that UConn is probably not going to serve them on a platter. The other game, Purdue, actually, this one's going to tip off first, I believe. Purdue, 9.5-point favorite, 146.5 against NC State. Bri, NC State's weird, right? 11 seed, you always have to have the double-digit seed in the Final Four somehow.
Crazy.
But boy, nearing 10 points. I don't know. I'm not sure about this one. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I like the way they play. I mean, the thing that worries me, right, is kind of what we saw in all these other Purdue games with the foul trouble. Like, with Burns in there, I mean, good size, good body, but I mean, he doesn't have the height there. So I feel like if Edie just keeps getting the ball fed inside, they're going to get him in foul trouble. And if he's in foul trouble, that team is just... that team's not the same. So it's
Isn't that it? Live bet this, whoever gets the first foul between those two. If you want to wait till whoever gets two fouls, it might be late, but they could make it interesting and Edie could get a ticky tack early on. And then it'd be a good one. Just, I don't know.
I know it's not the same. I know pros is a 48-minute game, but this is always why I was like, I know it's a lot of strategy and everything.
Make
else.
It six. So just for this
I
one?
Always wanted six in general, because you just in these big games, you just don't want it ruined by, depending on how an official calls the game, you don't want it ruined with like two ticky tack fouls early in a game, and that guy sits the rest of the half. That's just.
I'd love to see a ticky tack foul on Edie.
Harry, I'm going to give you your moment in a second. I do want to point out, Parlay Kid, this is, you know, we all go into these things like a good guard play, like Tate Frazier, expert. No one knows more about this stuff than he does, but he does 1,000 interviews leading up to the tournament and says, all I have to do is say good guard play. This team has good guard play, blah, blah, blah. I'll be all right. Four bigs are the reason these teams are in there, right? This is really fun. There's Edie and DJ Burns is the most anticipated big guy matchup in a long time, Parlay Kid, right? I mean, I don't even know. I went over it with Tate. When was the last big guy matchup like this that you wanted? Been a while.
Yeah, it's good to see like kind of like a bring us back in time of you know, Ewing and Olajuwon, where the ball went into the post and then it could, you know, can go anywhere else rather than just staying on the perimeter the whole time. So it's kind of nice to see. And it should be a great battle of the big men here, Sal, in these tournaments. Very can't wait.
Like I said, the foul trouble.
We need a Purdue UConn final, though. We need a Purdue UConn final. That'll be fun.
That's Seth Greenberg was on Winning Weekend and predicted that. Parlay Kid, that's your final, right? That's the one you did. You go Purdue over
Purdue,
UConn?
UConn. Yes, correct.
All right, good one. All right, now listen, you're a big Purdue guy. You kind of had to be. You like this Matt Painter guy as a coach. Harry hates him. He's cursed him up and down. What has he done? He gets bounced in the first round, the second round every year. And now he's in the Final Four. And so, Harry, we are waiting. You could apologize or you could double down. And I have a feeling I know what you're going to pick. Go ahead.
Well, I will say, okay, Matt Painter did get to the Final Four. Congratulations for that. But really what he did... is basically, if you can say he had a great game plan, well, look, he basically took a page out of the Andy Reid playbook from 2018, the 2018 Chiefs. Basically, anybody could have coached a team. You just let Mahomes go wild, 50 touchdowns, you're going to win games. You're going to win games. So right. Matt Painter's game plan is, guys, listen, don't shoot. Just every single time down the court, just toss it down to Edie. Just put dots down. I've never seen a game plan like that. No continuity, no flow, no rhythm, except just throwing it down to Edie. I mean, Tennessee, 8 more threes. Purdue shot 20% for the game. Tennessee, more blocks, more steals, more assists, more bench points, 10-0. Less turnovers. But the telling tale, 25 fouls to 12, 33 free throws, 22 by Edie, only 11 for Tennessee. And Edie gets called for one foul with 9 minutes to go in the second. He's pushing off. There's no 3 seconds anymore. Traveling's not called. I mean, he's getting away with murder. And Painter knows that he had to get through this. That's why he still played Edie 38 of the 40 minutes in the last two games.
All right, parlay kid. I mean, first of all, it's hilarious that Harry is hates Iowa a player State
should have been in the Tennessee.
It's great how he steps on my joke too. Go ahead.
Hates
a guy named Edie was what I was going to say. But go ahead, Harry. Iowa State did what? This is going to be
Iowa
important.
Iowa State got hosed. Like you mentioned that earlier, Sal, in a couple podcasts ago, where Iowa State should have been playing Purdue if they got
they lost, Harry. Right. They lost what in the second round? You can't cry.
They did.
You can't cry. They lost.
They also held Houston to 41 points in the Big 12 championship. Yeah.
You got to win games.
They're a team that could have matched up good against
you. Either got to win games or you don't. So I don't know which way you want to go with this. So, all right. I'll give you a rebuttal here, Parley Kid. Harry listed all those stats to you. I don't know.
Well, Harry's
one player.
On, yeah. Well, the stats are ridiculous because that's like then saying,
they should have won by 26.
You know, all, you know, Phil Jackson had to do was get the ball to Jordan and all. Like, that's just such nonsense. That you can't listen to that talk. The foul discrepancy. Sure, look, when you have the size advantage that he does, he's going to get fouled and fouled often.
Sure.
And a lot of those foul shots came when Tennessee was fouling on purpose. As a matter of fact, that's number two. Number three, I'm not sure where the Iowa State argument comes in. You know, they're beating
Painter gets crap because Iowa State didn't make it that far. That's kind of
right.
Stupid.
No, I'm just saying that Iowa State terrible. Should have been in the spot Tennessee was.
Harry, they're upsets in the tournament.
Harry's on record of saying that if Painter ever had a deep run, he would give him credit.
Well, so that's it. So we have a super fan here who pinpointed the exact moment last year, probably about a year ago, where you said, hey, if Matt Painter, these are your words, if Matt Painter makes a deep run, I will give him all the credit in the world. So what happened with that, Harry?
Was that my exact quote?
That was your exact quote.
Well, what happens now?
Listen, I gave him credit. Okay, you know what? I gave him
you
credit.
Did?
He made it
not
to the
all
Final
the credit
four.
In the world. You had a 3-minute dissertation about why it happened. All right. That's not all the credit
he made
in the world.
To the Final Four. He's in now when they get blown out by Connecticut by 25. Well, you know, and Edie doesn't do anything that game. That's fine. But
That's not what you said.
The last I'll say about this is all I know is that Dorothy would have killed for the road Purdue was given by the NCAA committee. That's all.
Dorothy? Dorothy who? On the Golden Girls? Or the Wizard of Oz? Would have killed for the road? Okay. All right. I see. I don't know what to say. Not bad. You dug yourself a hole with this. I'm going to give him all the credit in the world if he makes the Final Four, and he did. Now, maybe you didn't know he had Zach Edey this year. Could you say that? Maybe you weren't aware that he had that player. I just don't understand.
He gets so far underneath the hoop, 3 seconds has to be called somewhere.
Is Don Shula a shitty coach? Because Dan Marino was by far the best quarterback, when he was coaching towards the end. Like, and they didn't do anything. Is he a shitty coach? He's a shitty coach too?
Wow.
Yeah? Okay. Harry, I want to ask which NBA, because you were so very wrong about Andy Reid and now Matt Painter about their runs being short-lived. Which NBA coach do you hate most currently? Because they're going to win the title. I need to know. Current NBA coach. Please tell me. Who is it? Is it Tibbs? Who are we taking?
Might be Vogel.
Okay. All right. I don't like that one. What are we going to do with that? All right. So we got a lot there, Harry. We just got to keep rooting for for Purdue, Bri, right? I mean, that's what happens there.
Yeah.
No, so boring. So boring.
Well, look, I mean, I will say Purdue normally knocks down threes. They just couldn't knock them down that game. So they just kept, I mean, why wouldn't you feed
every
it to that guy?
Was thrown why, down to him. Every
but,
single
why,
play.
But why wouldn't you? I mean, they were putting guys on him that were like 6'8", 6'5" at times. They had mismatches on him. So it's like you just gotta get it down.
They
there.
Weren't shooting it well from the outside. So why wouldn't you? Why do I have to watch Marquette shoot 4-for-31 against NC State? And not ever get away from it. This was genius by Painter. This was absolutely genius. That's it.
I have Clark Kellogg on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. I ask him about this. These teams that have distinct advantages, Marquette, Arizona, Tate's Carolina Tar Heels, they were losing shooting the three. They were not doing well, and they freaked out. They're down like 6 and they freaked out. They kept going into 3 and they kept, I don't even know the numbers. Right. I'll get them between the 3 of them. And then they lost because they were just shooting 3s and they never caught on. And that just reminded me of the NBA and made me want to vomit. Also, it was like 4:30 in the morning, so I didn't know what I was watching.
Well, the funny what I was going to say, Sal, is like, you know, when you say teams freak out, like you know, you always used to see that, right? Like down six with a minute left, right? Yeah. You're just chucking up threes. Yeah, now you see that early. That's the thing. Now you see that from some teams.
7 minutes left.
Early in games. They just, and I know that's why some of the teams are good, but yeah, at some point when they're not falling, you got to get away from it.
Yeah, right. A Painter would have been a terrible coach if Edie didn't take a shot in the last 6 minutes, right, Harry? I mean, which way you want it?
I understand.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Harry understands.
It's going to get called. I mean, I don't know what Tennessee's defenders could have possibly done to get a call somewhere. That's all.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, Harry, let's go off on the fact that you understand. I think it's a good time to take a break, and we'll switch gears. We'll talk NBA. We'll have our plays of the day when we return. All right, NBA, I think there's 2 weeks. A week from Sunday is the last game, right? So everybody's got about 6 or 7 left. Celtics still favored to win this thing at +190. What's interesting is OKC now has the first seed in the West. That could go back and forth for a while. But for a first seed at 14-1, Bri, I don't know that we've seen anything like that. At this late in the season, crazy. Number one seed, 14-1, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, the whole West is, you know, whole West is up in the air, right? I mean, there are teams that are, you know, a play-in team could certainly make the finals, right?
Right. And like I said, yes, they could easily get bounced, OKC, if like the Suns catch fire, right? Suns won on the road, the last two impressive wins on the road.
Yeah.
Still 17-5 in the last 22. Four different leading scores in four of the last seven games, but second-year player from Santa Clara, Jalen Williams, no one even heard of or whatever. In March, this guy's averaged 21 points per game and almost 2 steals a game. Pleasant surprise. It's really helping this team. The 14-1, that's something else.
It's been really good.
Yeah, now I'm looking. Boy, I really like this better before Harry declared Frank Vogel his most hated coach or most inefficient coach or whatever he said there. But
not all his
I was
fault,
looking,
but.
Well, it's always interesting with the Lakers, right? They're the toast of the town, even if you don't live in the town. But certainly talk radio is all about, do they have enough to make the playoffs? They're currently a 9 seed. They're a game and a half behind Sacramento. And they're 3.5 ahead of Houston. So, you know, probably locked into the 9-10. Right now, I only bring them up because they're dead even to make the playoffs right now. Yes is -114. No is -106. Yesterday, I talked to Tate. The no was +120. They didn't even play yesterday, right? And it still went down to -106. So I have 7 left, I think. Cavs, T-Wolves, Warriors, Pelicans. So I think they're stuck in the 9. Now, I think the no with the -106, Bri, leads you to believe that people think they could get in the 8. Because if they're a 9-10, they have to win 2 games. And they'll be a road dog for one of them, I think, right? Wouldn't they be a road dog slightly?
Yeah.
I like the no. Talk me out of the no.
I can't really talk
Except
you out
the
of the
Harry
no.
Except thing now.
I can't talk you out of the no because now you got, at the 9, that means you're playing the Warriors, right? Right. Now?
Mm-hmm.
Warriors have been pretty good.
I don't think
good.
They're giving that up.
Warriors have been pretty good on the road. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. tough. That would be tough for Houston now. I mean, Houston pretty much had to win out.
Golden State has a head to head game, but Golden State has won the season series. So they're essentially up 2.5 games on Houston.
Yeah. So I think, Golden State plays pretty well on the road this year that we've seen. And then you'd get the loser of the other two, you know, whether that's
Sacramento. That building will be crazy.
Yeah,
against the Lakers, or the Suns, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know Monk is probably out for the next month or so.
He's out for the year,
Yeah, so that at least, right? So, that, I mean, that, you know, that's their scoring off the bench, so that could hurt. Yeah, it's you know, it's a tough call. I mean, I would lean no, too. I mean, the fact having to win both of those games, I would lean no. But
well, I liked it yesterday when I was getting the plus and before Harry's Frank Vogel comments, but the one thing I have to be concerned about is that they will probably get every call down the stretch, right? Like every effort will be made to get them into the top 8.
Yeah, I don't want to pull a Harry here and say,
NBA is different. NBA, you know, that's just how it is. What are you going to do at this point? Anyway, all right, pretty fun up top. Oak City, half game up on Denver, who's a half game up on Minnesota. Those are your top three. Clippers, fourth. Dallas, fifth. Pelicans, sixth. And then I said 7 through 10 is Suns, Kings, Lakers, Warriors. So that's a fun one. Let's do our Tuesday play of the day. Harry, you like the Mavs. I just mentioned them. People starting to like them. This is the point in the season. They really blew it for me. They wanted that Knicks pick. It all worked out for them. But I think they see they're an actual playoff team this year and want to keep winning. I don't know. You like them.
Listen, I like them tonight. I like them plus the one at Golden State. Not following this kind of funky line. Dallas is 2-0 versus Golden State. They've won 7 in a row, 11 of the last 12. Luka, Kyrie have led the Mavs in scoring in 26 straight games, and Dallas is 8-2 straight up in the last 10 games on the road. These two meet again on Friday in Dallas, so I understand kind of why Golden State is a favorite at home, needing this game to continue, like we just said, stay ahead of Houston for the 10th seed. But Dallas is flat out a better team, I think, top to bottom. Than the Warriors. I think they go 3-0 against Golden State this year. Give me Dallas and I'll take the one.
All right. There you go. We got a couple player props from Brother Bry and Parlay Kid. Brother Bry, start us off.
Yeah, I will say I do like Harry's pick a lot here. I mean, we've seen how well the Warriors have played. I mean, how well the Mavericks have played, right? They've won 7 straight. So I think I'm going to put a ton on Harry's tonight. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to go with, I like Amen Thompson over 8.5 rebounds at the Timberwolves. Like if you've been like, we haven't really talked about some of the other rookies, right? I mean, it's all been Wembanyama or Holmgren. But Thompson, he's been really good of late. And that's why Houston went on that run that they did in March. So averaging 13 points, 8 rebounds in March, shooting 58% from the field. But his rebounding numbers have been really good. He's had 9 or more rebounds in 5 of his last 7. And that includes the last game against Dallas. He only had 7 rebounds. And that's because he only played 20 minutes because it was a blowout. So we've seen him in a couple of games recently at 14 and 15 rebounds. So I think 8.5 is a little low here. So I like the over 8.5 tonight.
All right, Parlay Kid, your guy Hart.
Yeah, you know, Brian took this a couple of weeks ago, and I think he even mentioned this is something I really like all year long anyway, because I'm taking Josh Hart over 10.5 rebounds at minus 106. Sal Hart has gone over this number 4 of his last 5, 8 out of his last 10. He's averaging 12 rebounds a game in his last 10 games total. And Sal, he logs a major amount of minutes. He's on the floor for over 40 minutes per game, especially over the last month while the Knicks are trying to get healthy. But now with OG back out again, Hart's minutes have gone back up. I mean, he played 45 minutes against OKC the other night. So I would expect him to be 40-plus minutes. Hart does not like the Miami Heat. I think he has a pretty big game tonight. Knicks coming lost 2 in a row. Wanted to snap that losing streak. Hart will be at his best. He cruises to over 10.5 rebounds.
All right. I'm going NIT here. There is men's college tonight. Yep. Indiana State. The Sycamores against the Utes of Utah. You may not want to listen to me here. I'm pretty biased. I just love this Robbie Avila kid, this AKA Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They've beaten SMU, Minnesota, and a tough close one at Cincinnati with Kareem getting a three-pointer with a minute left. They're averaging 85 points a game. Indiana State, they're a joy to watch, honestly. They're the only team that ranks in the top 5 for both field goal percentage and free throw percentage. Imagine that. Imagine a team like that. Just great. Their offense moves with great flow. They really could score 95 or 100 tonight. Meanwhile, Utah 2-9 on the road. They had all home games up to now in the NIT. Now they're at Hinkle Fieldhouse, close enough to a home game for Indiana State. Lay the 3.5. Give me the Sycamores. And we get Kareem, another big man, Parlay Kid. Big man dominating these college ranks. And
it kind of bothers me because we gave Harry that nickname like 3 or 4 years ago.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right.
Yeah, and now this guy's walking around with it.
Yeah.
Should have copyrighted it.
Maybe that's the country that people look most like you, Harry. Indiana State, country of Sycamores all over the place. He just hit a 3 with a minute left to win the game. Oh, Harry's not paying attention. All right, let's take another break. Oh, man, can we skip the baseball? I guess we have to talk about it. We'll be right back. All right, Yankees, Mets, let's recap. Yeah, this is a nightmare for me. The Yankees are undefeated. The Mets are winless. We can't hit the ball. We got swept by the Brewers. We lost the game to the Tigers, and we had a no-hitter through 5 2/3. A great start for Manea. There's now a setback for McGill. Senga is still out for who knows if we see him. So it's like Manea, Severino, Quintana. This is the we may sign Julio Teheran. We can't hit the ball. Yeah, that's going to make a difference. Lindor, Nimmo, and McNeil are 3 for 44. I know these numbers have to get better, but for God's sakes, I'm looking at these other things, which are emotional hedge for me here. The Mets to have the worst record. FanDuel doesn't currently have the over-under wins. They usually update them, but I didn't see any this morning. All I saw is like Mets plus 138 for 80 plus, but you can't go the other way. I don't think that's happening. 70-1 to have the worst record, Bri. What do you think? 70-1.
Nope. Not taking it. I'm not even thinking about it. So, cause you got teams like the A's and some of these other teams, the bottom of the league, that they're just, I mean, look, the Mets for as bad as they are,
With the A's. We would split. We had a 4-game series.
They would.
Right. Mets are batting 188.
Well, that's the thing. Look at that lineup. I mean, there's no way Lindor, those guys are, I mean, if they're going to bat under 100, some of those guys, you're going to struggle, but it's not, I mean, worst case for the Mets, your worst case is like 70 wins, right? Like there's no way they're going like low 60s or upper 50s to get the worst record. I mean, this team
was bad last year and they were better on paper than what they're showing this year. So
I guess
I don't know what to say. I mean, I saw they were minus 360 to not make the playoffs. I don't want to do that, but whatever.
Like you're talking, I know the other one, like 70-1 on is ridiculous, but like not make the playoffs minus 3. I don't know. That's, you know, maybe
pair that with something.
With
UConn money line next game. I don't know. All right, Pauly kid, you go ahead, gloat about your Yankees. Volpe hitting 571, undefeated. Everything's great.
Yeah, look, I mean, I was told for about 30 straight years that payroll would determine how many wins you would have. And obviously, that's not the case for the Mets. But yeah, look, the Yankees, great start. Four straight comebacks against the Astros, which is our house of horrors for the Yankees. Great job. Collection of different people have stepped up. Juan Soto, who, you know, when the Yankees acquired him, you know, my biggest worry about Soto was, you know, we're going to have to give this guy like a 15-year deal. Like, I can't stand these type of deals. But you know what? Right now, he's writing his own check. He really is writing his own check, and I think the Yankees are going to have to give him what he is demanding, because I think when he's at the plate, there's just such a confidence from a fan watching him. You think he's going to come through. He seems unfazed. Seems like he enjoys the big moments. That's been great. We've won 5 without Judge really doing a thing so far. That's another good thing. The Yankees consistently, Cashman takes a beating. But and deservedly so. But they somehow find these like relief pitchers off like the scrap heaps, and they make them into good relief pitchers. It's amazing what they do with that bullpen. Blake is a great pitching coach, I guess, too. That helps. Volpe, who Harry said the other day was a terrible, terrible player. Volpe is off. Like, and you guys remember me last summer said it's all about the swing. He has made adjustments in his swing. Which I had talked about making some simple adjustments in the offseason.
He did bat 209 last year.
It's only, a lot of guys do it, but he still had 23 doubles, 21 home runs, et cetera, et cetera.
All right.
As a rookie and won the gold glove.
It's a week.
But you did say he was going to be a terrible player.
Sal was ripping him more than I was.
Well, hold on. Parlay Kid was too. The Yankees didn't do right by him. They brought him up, right? They brought him up too soon. They didn't let him stay down.
I just thought they messed with the swing. All about that elevation. And now he's refined it. He's 22 years old.
All right.
And they got, he's going to be there. It could be the next Jeter.
Could be your next Kevin Moss. Yeah, whatever.
You never know. They got a nice blend right now of veteran and youth. And they seem to be, and I think Brian would admit this too, at least it seems to be, and when you're winning, it cures everything. But there just seems to be some more enthusiasm and some life and some personality from this team this year. Probably thanks to Soto. Verdugo, he hasn't played great yet, but he brings a little like personality that the Yankees have been sorely missing. And they got these youthful guys that are running around. It's nice to see.
All right. It's great to see. That's enough. Okay. Good. Who cares?
It's a week.
Games. Yeah.
All right. No, it is. That's why I'm not. I'm not saying that.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, look,
it feels pretty good.
We've seen this too. Like Oswaldo Cabrera for the Yankees. I mean, obviously he's off to the best start he's been, but we've seen him two start seasons. You know, we've seen him before get hot and we say how great he looks and then he just fades off. So, I mean, I'm sure he's going to come back to earth. Volpe's going to come back to earth. Hopefully the other guys start hitting.
Nestor Cortez and Gallen, it's a pick 'em in the desert tonight. Hauser on the mound for the Mets, a favorite over the Tigers. I don't know how that is, minus 132. I mean, we have zero or one runs going into like the seventh inning every game. In fact, Harry, you already lost the preseason bet we made. What was it that, what the hell was it that the Mets
would have at least two hits in every game this season?
First game.
Yeah. And then for a very first game, that was it.
I mean,
what odds did you get on that?
That was minus like 105. And Braves are batting 145 points higher than the Mets. Just saying.
Well, Sal, I also lost my Mets one, which was 60-1 that they wouldn't get shut out until the All-Star game. Right. Well,
These are ridiculous bets. No one knows.
But didn't in that first game, didn't the Mets get a hit or a home run early in that game?
Marte hit the home run?
Yeah, Marte
was
that the first game?
It was early though, right?
Yeah, Sal was basically bragging. In Ireland, Sal was basically bragging about
that. Sal was bragging. He's like, while I was dominating the cornhole circuit, Sal says, home run Marte. Like, here we go. Mets go. I think you said 100, it might win 100 plus games.
Unlike my bets, I didn't say that, but I did have a walk-off toss in the cornhole. I did. So there you go. But not something the Mets won't be used to. Yeah, I got a bad one. I got Marlins to make the playoffs. They have not won a game. They were plus 360 to make the playoffs. That's a bad one for me. They're 5-1 now. Harry, you have, aside from the Mets, there was one that you didn't.
Just a little concerned about the Rays. I know TPK liked likes the Rays this year too. I know they're, I haven't make the playoffs. They're 2-3, not an awful start, but a little concerned about their starting pitching. The 29 runs given up in the first five games, a little concerning, little bit.
Yeah, well, their pitching's always weird anyway, right? They'll get three inning outings from guys. Yeah, there you go. Mikey Meatballs, our very own Mikey Meatballs, went to Chavez Ravine, took his brother, visiting brother, on Monday, yesterday, 8-3 final, saw the Dodgers win. I mean, it's basically like watching the Globetrotters at this point, right? You're going out to see an exhibition. Mikey Meatballs, how long to get there? I think it's 12 miles. How long to get there?
It took us about an hour yesterday.
That's freaking great. That's a goddamn record.
Only took us about 40 minutes to get out, too. It was pretty good.
No, that was my second question. Really?
Yep.
Mikey Meatballs is a magician. I mean, he's no Joel Solomon behind the wheel.
But they don't let you move out of the parking lot. I mean, getting there, good for him. But what did you hang out on the field for 3 hours? How did you get out of the lot in 40?
No, we left right after the last out, and we were out of the parking lot within 40 minutes.
It's an impressive squad, huh? It's really just when you're watching the game, what were your thoughts on the Dodgers? I mean, Otani isn't even heating up yet, right?
Right.
Yeah, it was, I think it was the first game I saw Otani where he didn't hit a home run, surprisingly.
Right. Oh, yeah, because usually go Yankees, Angels. Yeah. That's very dominant. Yeah, well, they have 11 home runs as a team. Teoscar Hernandez, who bats like 34th in the lineup, has four. Otani doesn't even have any yet. I'm thinking they break the Braves record of 307, which was last year. Maybe every year that could get broken. Who knows? But, Brian, did the Dodgers go wire to wire as favorites for the regular season? Probably, right?
Yeah.
to win the whole thing?
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't see anything that would. I mean,
plus 330 right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to be about the number you're going to get all year, right? It's going to go a little bit lower. I guess the question is still going to be their starting pitching, right?
I think. I don't even think it matters. I mean, well, you're talking a question in the playoffs.
Yeah. That's what I'm just saying. I think the line kind of. The line kind of stays always somewhat the same. It never gets like increasingly better unless they make another decision to get somebody else.
Just such a weird team. They could put up goose eggs till the seventh inning and end up with six or eight. But like just such I'm talking regular season. Though.
Right. But regardless, right. You still wouldn't necessarily be comfortable with them in the playoffs. Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Dodgers are for sure. Plus 330 Dodgers, Braves plus 430. The Astros, who got the crap kicked out of them, are 7-1 and ahead of the Yankees at 9-1. Whoa, disrespect, Parlay Kid. What disrespect? I mean, what are you supposed to do? You swept them. Pretty good. Parlay Kid did have bets for MVP. I was looking. He leads the league in homers. I guess he's tied with Hernandez now, but he's 25-1 for most home runs. And you could still get him at MVP for plus 420. With those Astros, Ronel Blanco, no hit the Blue Jays. What was the over-under on no hitters this year? 6.5?
Thought it was 4.5.
7.5? Was it 4.5?
That was 4.5.
I got
4.5 is right. Harry's
is that right.
Right? Yep.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah. So already one in the books, less than 2 weeks in. So there you go. But Brian,
eighth career start, by the way.
Yeah. Eighth overall. We should have kept betting the Astros. They weren't going to lose 10, right? I know they're scary at home, but we should have just kept doubling up. So anyway, to recap, Yankees, Pirates, Tigers undefeated, of course. Mets, Marlins, and Megan Morant's White Sox winless. And now for more misery on my end, it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the D3 in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bad ache. It's a
bad ache. All right, Parlay Kid, you have the best one or the worst one. I don't know how you want to look at it. Take it away.
Yeah, I mean, one game I lost here was not so soul-crushing, except at the timing of it, of course. So when Brian and I took to the streets in Adair, in Ireland, obviously, so we were talking about finding a place to bet. Well, we found a place. Brian, what was the name of it? Why am I slipping my mind?
It was Bally, right?
Was it?
Is that what the name was? I haven't.
No,
it was it Paddy Power or was it?
It was what the. Why can't I think about it?
We took a picture. What was it?
We have the picture, Brian. Want to find it? I want to give them some credit here.
I will.
So, anyways, Brian's finding
it was Boyle.
That.
Boyle Sports.
Boyle Sports.
I said Bally. Boyle Sports. There it is. Boyle Sports.
Found a little sports book. We go in. I we took out some euros. I decide that I'll put 50 on. I'll make up some crazy parlay, of course. So I just take some money line favorites, NBA, college men, college women, right? And of course, as it goes, it's like seven. I go seven for my first seven. And Sal, the only one that was semi close, I guess, was the Purdue game. Every other game.
Oh, they got every call.
Of course. was by 10 plus points. Every other game I have is by 10 plus. It's the easiest parlay. But I know that if I win this, I got to go back to Ireland to cash the ticket. I think I don't know what I would have done to recoup. So I had said before my last game, I said, Sal, what would be pretty cool if I could win this bet, which my last game to come in, I needed Duke to beat NC State.
That's just it. Money line.
Just beat him.
Yep.
Just money line. And I say, no, it'd be nice. We'll find an Irish listener out there, an Ireland listener, and I'll send them the ticket and they can keep the money. It would be enough. 450 euro with 9-1.
Nice.
Parlay. That would be great. How nice would that be? This would be, and I'm thinking, how great would it be to just place one bet
and win it?
The mother country. And to win. That would be a cool story. I hit one bet in Ireland and I won.
You could have made it like whoever looks most like you gets to cash this ticket.
Then we have a little contest. You know what? Whatever we could have. Exactly. Right. So we could have. It would have been a fun thing to do. Duke, who looked obviously very good in the first half, held NC State to 21 points.
Yeah.
Sal, like you said, once that game got close with like 12 minutes and it was tied, the panic that set in on the Duke players was absolutely ridiculous, right? And that's why when you have a good big man inside, like NC State does, and you could get easy baskets, right? How much better is that down a stretch in a close game? We're like, let's dump it in. Man, right. 2-point basket is a lot better than a three-point brick.
We've never seen that shade of Duke before, right?
You know what? I mean,
really?
They have a pretty good big man, too. They didn't use him.
Right.
They really, Sal, I just thought the panic set in on Duke, and they really choked it away. And NC State obviously played great basketball, but the game, that those moments were way too big for those Duke players at that time. They really were. So I hit 7 out of 8. And of course, the last freaking leg, I shouldn't have even texted anything, but I knew I would jinx myself.
I think when Darren texted that the last time, wasn't Duke up like early in that game? Wasn't Duke up?
I think they were up 27-18.
Right.
I think a minute left.
I was going to say, I think Duke was up like 7 or 8 points when Darren actually texted that. So that made it even worse.
That's why when I said, Sal, if this hits, and that's a big if. I made it like I'm not jinxing this.
Right, right.
And that's a big if.
It was going
if.
To someone. All
Since
right.
you said that.
Yeah, that was it.
I'm like, we'll send this to somebody. And
Seven for seven. Oh, that was nice. Well, what are you going to do about that? That's just a bummer. Terrible. Just a bummer. It would have been interesting to see how that could have been
cashed.
We had some Irish listeners, too. Like, go to this pub. It was hours away when they contacted us. I have one, too. I had Chelsea over Burnley. I also went to Boyle to place a bet. What a beautiful thing. You know, one of the very few things you can bet on during the day is English Premier Soccer. And Ireland isn't particularly proud of their soccer teams nationally or the club level. Their rugby and their, what's the other one, Brian?
Hurling, right.
Which is like rugby and bowling and soccer. No,
like
what
lacrosse
is it?
It's like and lacrosse, hockey,
rugby, hockey.
Yeah. So I have Good Chelsea stuff. Over Burnley to close out a parlay. 2 for 2 in the morning. Chelsea's a 330 favorite, -330. Burnley's 19th in the table. They're going to get relegated. They can't not get relegated. They get a red card at 40 minutes. Beautiful. Chelsea has a 2-1 lead 80 minutes in. Burnley's playing a man down. They're about to leave the league. They freaking tie it. I'm at the ceremony here at 81 minutes in, and this is like 3/4 of the way through the ceremony. I'm watching my phone, and I have to hold in a gasp. I don't want to be confused as a guy who stands up when they say, does anyone object to this wedding? But I'm watching on my phone like a true degenerate. And how does the favored Chelsea, who needs to win to keep abreast here, lose a game? They're a man up. They didn't lose. They tied. But it's a loss, as you know, if you bet a soccer team to win. Disgusting, disgusting Chelsea. Screwed me up.
Sal, can I just ask you quick? How did you not, I will say though, for all the pranks and everything you've pulled in your life, how did you not yell out something during that ceremony when something like that happened? That would have been...
I would have lost it. The guy Brent, who we like very much, was his friend was officiating. And he was like, it was so lighthearted anyway. So it wasn't very... It wasn't serious for anyone to jump in to make a difference, but I'll do it at the third wedding for sure. All right, Harry, more soccer.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Yeah, it's out. Jeez, that's brutal. But I was 4-1 in my last 5 sharp tanks, and I gave out a 4-leg parlay in soccer.
Yeah, of course I went on it with you. Yeah.
Barcelona lost Palmas to go over 1.5. Another situation. I had the team, Las Palmas, gets a red card 24 minutes in. So Barcelona home, second best team in the league.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to put up 2 themselves. Well, Las Palmas doesn't even get a shot off the entire game. And Barcelona scores in the 51st minute and don't score again. I lose.
The red card is a lost leader here for us.
It's almost like worse, right? Where, I don't know.
Harry,
if you get a red card and you go up 1-0, you'll just play defense being up 1-0 the whole time.
Right.
Did Harry say the 51st minute?
Was it the 51st?
Don't they say that in Ireland?
Yeah. I don't know what you're laughing at. You're the biggest communist here, betting against Caitlin Clark.
I know.
My God, that's anti-merc.
It is. And I will say last year, you know, I really stunk betting her games last year, right? I think I had South Carolina to beat them last year. She upset South Carolina in the Final Four. Yeah. And then I went, I decided, you know what? This is no fun. I'm going to bet Iowa against LSU. And then, of course, LSU won in the championship. So What do I do? You and I had talked about this, I think, leading up to it over the last week. We're like, we're just going to kind of take the other team on the spread. Iowa's going to fall at some point in time, which I thought they would. So same as Darren, I put in a bet at that Boyle Sports, whatever it was called. And same thing, I had a parlay. And of course, I had same type of thing. And I had Colorado getting 7.5. Wasn't even close. That game was over.
No,
that was over immediately. I just thought the way they played in the Pac-12, I thought it would be an advantage. So to keep it close. What do I do? I go back to LSU then yesterday. And that's one of those games, you know, once she's making shots, you know, I know she consistently does it, but once she's just consistently hitting those tough shots from 30 feet, it's almost impossible to stop. And you could just tell they couldn't deal with the pace of Iowa. LSU was, you know, walking back on defense at times. They needed the TV timeouts for the breaks. And I kind of knew it was over once they took that lead back in the second half. So I can't do it anymore. I can't go against her anymore.
I did it too last night under 31.5 points. And I think she's still shooting. I'm not sure, but that was just crushed. I do want to say something. Maybe this is just a jealousy thing or something. People are saying that she is dribbling to her left and shooting crazy threes. And if you just put someone on her left, everybody lets her dribble to her left is where she sets up for the three. Are you guys seeing this?
Well, I do think. It's funny because my sister had come over and we were watching the UConn game last night. And even she was saying, it's funny how well she shoots. When she goes left, she falls left. It's not even that she's shooting left. She's like falling off balance or forward left, but still gets
But no her, one's guarding it. That's
still
every
gets
shot,
her balance
right?
off. But yeah. Look, you can't, it's almost impossible to guard because when you can bring defenders out that far, then she's going to be able to drive by you and then somebody else is wide open. So, and if
I'm
that,
just
that,
saying, when the Hornets draft her next year, eventually the men are going to adjust to this and she's going to be...
Her dribbling,
I think she would turn it down.
Her dribbling and passing is excellent.
She's the best. But when she goes to the Hornets, it's going to be an issue. I just think, like, why wouldn't they do that? She would say no. She'd be like, no. I'm either playing Big Three or I'm going to the Indiana team or something.
She could get 6 assists a game in the NBA.
No, she. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I love her. I love the women's game. I mean, I think it's great. It's actually just as good as if not better to watch it. Those questions or those statements are tough to.
You mean asinine?
Gino Auriemma says it himself. I mean, it's stupid to even talk about it.
But Parley Kid, if you're San Antonio or somebody, whatever, or Charlotte, and you could draft, if you could have Wemby and Caitlin Clark for a year, San Antonio's not winning the title next year, the year after. What a spectacle that is to come see it, right?
People would buy tickets.
It would be.
I think they're probably selling out with Wemby anyway, but I don't know.
Right.
The proper marketing.
That's the one thing, marketing wise, yes. But anything else, no.
Yeah, but whatever. A team like that, I know. I'm going to talk to Lil A about this. There's a way to do this. we got to take another break. One more break, and we'll be back. Brian, we'll just set us straight on the Final Four when we return. All right, women's Final Four is set. Bri, you led us astray with LSU at the beginning of the year. How dare you? You said it was going to be a walk in the park. And now South Carolina minus 200.
And, you know,
if there's an upset, it's likely coming from the other side. But go ahead. Do you want to say words on LSU?
I was going to say, if there's fair, and in fairness to me, I thought, you know, Haley Van Lith would put them over the edge. She actually made them worse. You could actually see Kim Mulkey was like, wanted to strangle her on the court. all game.
Kim Mulkey always has that look, though. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like Angel Reese could have a 70-point game, and she'll still have a salad.
She is certainly intense. But yeah, I mean, I switched it up though before the tournament. I had said I thought South Carolina was going to beat LSU in the finals. Not 100% sure. I mean, I do think it's going to be tough for UConn to win the whole thing. I think it's tough for them to beat Iowa. If you watch their games, I mean, if you look at their bench, they have like six or seven girls in street clothes still. So they're missing a ton of, their second, third, fourth best players. Or no, I shouldn't say second, third. They're missing their third, fourth, fifth best players this year. So, so I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for them to win two games. North Carolina, NC State. I mean, the way they're playing, I mean, could they upset South Carolina? They're getting good play all around from them. They have the girl Rivers has been great. They've been great. So, what'd you say, Harry?
Both 11 seeds, right?
No.
North Carolina State teams.
No, the girls were a three. The girls were three.
Oh, no.
Come on, Harry.
11th in the country, maybe? Maybe 11th
overall. But look, I can't put anything past Iowa at this point. But Sal, I told you right before we got on the pod, I was like, I think I'm going to go.
Rye's going.
I'm going Friday. My daughter is like the biggest UConn fan. She met Paige and Gina Auriemma in January. She met the two of them, which was cool. And then she also loves Zaya. So I'm like, and she likes rooting for South Carolina too. Those are like the three teams she likes rooting for. So it's like, how could I miss those games? I'm okay not going to the finals, but I need to see Iowa UConn. I mean, that's just a classic matchup. I mean, yes. Do I have to drive 9 hours on Friday and 9 hours back on Saturday? Sure. But, you get to stay at Brent's house, which would be a treat.
Yes, Brent, and you could be married by the end of the weekend. You don't know. Who knows? He's got that license now. So just be careful. All right. Well, we'll force you to make a pick on the next podcast on Thursday. But Iowa's a 2.5-point favorite over UConn, South Carolina, and an 11.5-point favorite over NC State. Yeah, Tate tried to sell me on both NC States at 80-1 to win the whole thing. No. You got to save your money. Everybody save your money.
Sal, what was it though? They said if you put $100 on NC State at the beginning of the ACC tournament through now, it was $200,000. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah,
sure.
Yep. And then it's like, and who hit that three, that bank three that rattled in against Virginia? Otherwise,
wasn't that O'Connell?
Nobody knows DJ Burns, right?
Yep, crazy. It's crazy how that works
really
out.
Really something else. Right. Like, so that keeps going. All right.
O'Connell's Long Island kid. Harry, Long Island kid.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. Let's pull the plug on this. What a fun one. Parlay Kid and I could take our derbies off, right? What are these hats called?
Never taking it off.
Okay. It stays on. No. That does it. We're going to be on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend on Friday. Clark Kellogg will join us. We are going to pick the final four games, got some futures to hit in the NBA. And before that, we have another Against All Odds podcast on Thursday. Plays of the day, Shark Tank, lots going on. That's going to do it. Another episode of Against All Odds from Mikey Meatballs and the D3. I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina,
Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.